This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious, good shepherd of all, help us know that you are a God of unconditional love and that your forgiveness and compassion have no limits at all. You call to us in the depths of our struggles, and rejoice with us when we realize the depth of your love, that we may then share your hope, your love, with all the world. Amen. Please be seated. So I have preached on this gospel several times and did all my regular research and looked, and I kept running across these stories, and I couldn't pick the best one. So I'm going to tell you all of them. And there are four. And they tell tales of how we are lost and how we are found. There are ancient ones, and there are some that are as recent as this week. And they span the age from very young to the very old. I'll call her Lucia. Lucia was lost. She had tried to stop drinking before, and she had relapsed and gone back to drinking and relapsed. And this time, she really gave in to her disease, and she fell into an abyss. The descent into the hell of her own making was dramatic. Nothing mattered. She had called in sick to work, closed the blinds in her house, and isolated herself in the cold days of November in Virginia. Day after day, she drank until she was close to suicide. So close. Lucia lost track of time, except that now, every morning, she told me, when she would wake up, it was the most uncanny thing because she would be lying just so, and this piercing light would come in through the blinds, intruding her stupor. And after a couple of days, when this happened over and over again, she said that she clearly heard the words, "Wake up." Several more days went on. It was over a week that she was in this fog. She had lost track of time, and the only way she knew that another day had come was that every morning, this light would be piercing in, hitting her just so. Wake up. Wake up. Finally, that daily alarm clock registered something in her, and she said there was a shift, that this had reached deep within her and not invited. She told me that what was going on was beyond her rational mind. When I asked her if I could tell this story, she said, "Make sure you get this part." It was beneath her intellect, as she described it, behind all consciousness and a knowing, a knowledge came that was not being processed by her frontal cortex. Pure grace, uninvited grace. She made a phone call to her mom. She got herself into treatment, and she has been healthy ever since, and it's been quite a while. Grace recognized grace, came in unrelenting light through those blinds and opening, and she was found, and she found herself. And now, Lucia is the mainstay for her family, and now wants to give back more and more and more. The lost sheep becoming the shepherd, light from light. That's the first story. The second story is the backstory for the second reading today. That light that converted Saul to Paul that day when he was on the road to Damascus, that blinding light that came to him so sharply that he was knocked to the ground and he was blinded for 3 days until God also sent the risen Christ also sent Ananias to go to him, put his hands over his eyes, and something like scales, the text tells us, fell off of his eyes. And he got up, and he ate, and he was baptized, and he would become the greatest, one of the greatest teachers of all time as a follower of Christ, and continues to be one of the greatest teachers for us. And so in today's reading, he's writing this letter to Timothy, and he's talking about the miracle that is now his life. He was found by grace, by the light of the risen Christ, literally. And he tells Timothy that now he's living his life as an example to other people. The lost sheep became the shepherd, light from light. The third story is actually two stories and has to do with our youth group. So if you guys might remember this. Before youth group, I had the opportunity to talk with an 11-year-old member of the youth group who will remain nameless because I didn't ask him if I could tell. And we were just talking before he went to youth group, and I said, so how are you? I said, how was your day at school? He said, good. And I said, well, what did you learn? And he said, well, our history teacher taught us about today. And it was September 11th, last Wednesday, as you recall. And he said, have you ever heard of September 11th? I said, yes, I have heard of September 11th. And then it dawned on me that kids today, up to the age of 17, weren't even alive for September 11th. And so I just let him tell me what the history teacher taught him. And the facts were accurate, at least as I know them. And he was pretty, you know, riled up as he was telling me about it. And he said, but then, he said, my teacher, and I figured out the math, his teacher was like around in his 30s or something, and he would have been this young man's age at the time of 9/11. And so he said that when it happened, that shortly after 9/11, that there were bullies in his school that were bullying other kids who happened to be, and then he looked up at me and he said, what's that religion? And I said, Islam? And he said, well, they didn't call it that. And I said, do you mean that the kids were Muslim? And he said, oh, yeah, that's it. He said, but they were bullying them just because they were Muslim. He said, why would they do that? And he looked at me, and I just let the silence sit. And I answered, they were lost. They didn't know any better. They had lost their way. And he said, well, my teacher told me that that was wrong. And I said, your teacher is a smart teacher. At our youth group gathering that night, Shannon was telling me that Tom Handy taught, and I have permission from Tom, he was teaching them that one way that now they could go out and help lost people would be for them to be the eyes and the hands and the ears of the Good Shepherd and reach out to somebody who might be sitting alone in the cafeteria. Offer them a smile or a hello. Simple, but not easy. And profoundly sharing that light that all of us are to share once we know about that great light. Last story. This is an old German tale. Once upon a time, a young couple named Lucas and Anna lived on a small but prosperous farm. And when Lucas's father, Heinrich, began to grow old, the couple invited him to share their home. The night Heinrich arrived on the farm, the family celebrated. The table brimmed with produce from the fields and the gardens, and Anna baked bread and filled vases with flowers. After the meal, Lucas showed his father to his room. Heinrich's eyes teared up as he looked at the comfortable bed layered with blankets and pillows and at the handmade rocking chair beside a window that looked out on the southern fields. A fresh wind blew in through the window, ruffling his son's hair. "I hope you will be comfortable here, father," Lucas said. Heinrich took his son's hands in his. "I will be happy so long as I am near my family," he said, "and I will happily help you on the farm." The next morning, Heinrich awoke early and strode to the kitchen chicken coop to feed the chickens. In the afternoon, he mucked out the horse barn, and in the evening, he helped his son feed and water the animals. Although he was sore by day's end, he was happy to be able to help his son. That night, once again, the family shared a fine meal. "There's good news," Lucas told his father. "In a few months, you will have a grandson. Anna and I are going to have a baby." Well, Heinrich was overjoyed at the news. The months passed, and all was well. Though each night, Heinrich felt a new ache in his body. Sometimes he wished he were young again. "Son," he told Lucas, "I won't always be able to work as much as I do now, I fear. I'm growing old." "It doesn't matter," Lucas assured his father. And sure enough, as time passed, Heinrich grew weaker. Sometimes his hands trembled, so he stopped carrying buckets. He could no longer get up at dawn, and by evening he was exhausted. Still, all was well. And then Anna gave birth to a son. They named him Nicholas. When Heinrich looked into his grandson's eyes, his own welled up with tears. He cradled the baby to his chest and looked down at him, remembering the day his own son, Lucas, was born. "It seemed it was just yesterday that you were a baby, like Nicholas," Heinrich said to Lucas. And Lucas laughed, but Anna was scowling. She reached for the baby. "Father, your hands are shaking. Here, let me take Nicholas." And she snatched the baby from her father-in-law's arms. Heinrich felt a stab in his heart. He did not wish to worry Anna. Of course he would take care with this child. How could she think otherwise? That night at supper, Anna turned on her father-in-law. "I worry that with your unsteady hands, you might drop one of our good plates," she said. "I've taken the liberty of bringing in this bowl for you to use." And with that, she handed him a large wooden bowl. Heinrich stared in dismay. "That's the bowl for chicken feed," he said. "That bowl belongs in the barn." "It's good enough," Anna said firmly. "We don't have money to burn, and if you break a plate, we'll have to replace it. This way, we won't have to worry." Lucas simply stared down at his plate. The old man nodded. He saw that changes were happening rapidly to him these days, and so time passed. By the time little Nicholas was standing, the old man could barely walk outside. His feet throbbed, his back ached, and he was always tired and sore. One night, as Heinrich was pouring himself a glass of water, his hand shook so badly that he knocked the glass to the floor where it shattered. "See that?" Anna cried. "Even Nicholas doesn't break glasses. Lucas, I think it's time your father ate in his room." Lucas sadly nodded. "I'm afraid she's right," he said to his father. And so they made a table for the old man where each night he ate simple porridge from a wooden bowl. No longer did he share in his family's feasts. "Now perhaps we'll have some peace at the supper table," Heinrich heard Anna say, and little Nicholas heard too. Several years passed, and when Nicholas was old enough to speak, he often crept into his grandfather's room. There, the old man and the young boy whispered together. "What do they talk about?" Anna said. "I don't want your father filling our boy's head with nonsense." "Father," Lucas said to Heinrich, "be careful what you say to our boy. He's young and impressionable." Heinrich said nothing. One afternoon, a few months later, Anna walked out to the barn and discovered her son hard at work. He was at his father's work table, scraping and pounding and cutting. "What are you doing, Nicholas?" she asked. "I'm making a gift for you. One for you and one for father," he said. "Don't look. You'll find out what they are tonight." Anna was overjoyed. She could not wait to see her son's creation. And that night, Nicholas handed each of his parents a box. "One for each of you." They quickly opened the boxes, and inside they discovered two wooden bowls. Nicholas smiled. "These will be your bowls when you are old, when you no longer can eat from the good china, and when you must sit alone in your room eating porridge." Anna and Lucas instantly understood. They rushed into Heinrich's room, and Lucas tenderly lifted his father into his arms. "I'm so sorry, father." He said as he carried him back to the table, "We'll never neglect you again," Anna promised, as both she and her husband imagined their own old age. And they were forever grateful to Nicholas for the vital lesson he taught them. For they were lost, and then they were found. Maybe all of these stories, just maybe, can reveal to us in our humanity our prejudice, our own apathy toward ourselves or toward one another, when we too are as lost sheep, for all of us have gone astray, and all of us will in the future, in one way or another, from time to time, and when we do, we can be found, and then become that light, that good shepherd, like Lucia is, even though she doesn't think she is today, and like Paul is, and like those teachers were last Wednesday, and like little Nicholas was to his parents, and like we can be in staying close to the light of Christ in our own lives. Bottom line, we are never lost. We may think we are, but God's eyes see differently, and God is already waiting at home, just waiting, love's door always open, always there. Amen.